Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. We're cruising on into the week and just looking at all kinds of stuff going on. Our webcam is up and running. The chat room is open. All systems are go. And Donovan is in the control room, his hand hovering over the phone, waiting for you to call in at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. And come on the air and talk about all kinds of things. Now, before we get going here, I just want to share with some information. If you are on AT&T as your cell phone service provider and you have text messaging, and who doesn't, you may be experiencing problem with the email-to-text messaging facility. It's been kind of wanky for the last couple of days, and I called in, and they were in their little pit where they keep all the engineers there emailing text to each other and realizing there actually is a problem. And I feel comfortable mentioning it out there because apparently I got an email from somebody saying, Rush Limbaugh's talking about this on the air right now, and he's all upset that he's not getting his emailed AT&T text messages. So there's something going on. What may be very much going on, of course, is that AT&T is kind of whining and whimpering. They've captured a huge share of the online cell phone, smartphone market with the iPhone, which is a nifty little gizmo, and now their systems are a little overloaded. Somebody wasn't planning correctly, and now they're struggling to keep up. So part of the problem is they're routing some of their text message traffic through their other network, the Singular network, and it's a mess. What can I tell you? So they're working to fix it. They know it's a problem, and it's frustrating. We have built systems so complicated, we can't manage them anymore. And that is definitely a sign of the decline of the American empire when we can't even manage what we've done before, what we've built before here. So anyway, moving right along here, interesting poll out of the Rasmussen. Rasmussen basically went out and talked to a lot of Americans and found out that 66% of Americans say they're angry with the federal government. 66% of Americans are angry with the federal government. 36% describe themselves as very angry. I don't know what the percentage is that's ready to go to the tar and feather and guillotine, but I can presume it's pretty hefty. But even just the 36% who count themselves as very angry, that's 100 million very angry Americans. No wonder the government is in panic mode, trying to get things back under control. Which leads us to the rock and roll full tilt boogie booga booga that is out there. It's all over the news today. We've got to be on the lookout for the Al-Qaeda terrorists. They're attacking our stadiums and our hotels and our this and our that. And, of course, they're still trying to recover from the embarrassment that they busted an FBI informant and had him all over the newspapers as this horrible terrorist suspect. It turns out he's one of their own guys. And apparently, do you remember a couple of weeks ago, there was this big news story where there was this raid in New York where they were raiding all these households, and it was banner headline over at Drudge and said, it's a big terror thing and Congress is being briefed and, you know, it's a horrendous thing. And then it just kind of fizzled away. And the next thing we heard, they said, well, we didn't actually find anything at any of these houses. Come to find out, the FBI had gone to the New York authorities and said, there's a big terror plan. It's coming to hit New York. It's going to be a new 9/11, and we're watching the suspects very closely. And apparently, the chief of police of the New York Police Department said, I'm not going to run the risk that the FBI is going to lose these bozos. I'm going to go arrest them now. And that's what the raids were. And there was nothing there. It was another hoax. The FBI created another terror hoax to try and scare Americans back into the mental enslavement of the federal government. Please, Mr. Big Deal Government, please save me from Osama bin Dead Guy. Please save me from Al-Qaeda. Oh, man, it is. If the situation were not so serious, where we're talking about the federal government trying to re-enslave psychologically 300 million Americans, this would be laughable stuff. This would be laughable stuff. For those of you who are new to the show, got to share something with you. The word Al-Qaeda, we get so many of our words from Arabic, like algebra is Arabic. Alcohol is Arabic origin, which is amazing considering the Muslims don't drink. And so we get all these words in there. Now, Al-Qaeda literally means the base. like a foundation, base of a pedestal. It is thought to have originated from the database at CIA of all the Mujahideen fighters who were helping the United States during Charlie Wilson's war, one of whom was Osama bin Laden, whose family gets all these really expensive government construction contracts. Bin Laden construction. Look at all these bases in the Middle East. They're being built by the bin Ladens and staffed by Blackwater. That's the cartel right there, the war cartel. So, Al-Qaeda. But in Arabic slang, Al-Qaeda means the toilet. And Araisha Al-Qaeda means I'm going to the bathroom, loosely translated. And here's the deal. What this means, no terrorist group is going to call themselves the toilet. Hello, I'm from the toilet. I'm here to crash airplanes into your skyscrapers. Doesn't really work. People start snickering. And I got to tell you, you start snickering, the terrorists get really upset. They don't react well to that at all. So they're not going to name themselves the toilet. Al-Qaeda became the name of this terrorist cult. It was created by somebody who doesn't actually speak Arabic or know the culture. It's a manufactured boogeyman. If you've ever read George Orwell's 1984, the state creates a villain for everybody to hate, for all the bad stuff to be blamed on. Oh, we have to take more of your tax money because we've got to protect against Emmanuel Goldstein. We've got to take away more of your civil liberties because we've got to protect against the agents of Emmanuel Goldstein. It is an obvious and heavy-handed trick. Hitler did it. Mussolini did it. The U.S. is now doing it. And they're you know something? It's government by scarerism. And I'm using the word scarerism. It's not terrorism because there are no real acts of terror. It's scarerism, constantly keeping you worried and afraid that there might be an attack of terror. And who's doing that? The terrorists? Heck no. It's the U.S. government and the FBI and the corporate media. And they're saying, you better do as you're told or the terrorists are going to get you. The terrorists are going to get you. Here's a terrorist. No, wait, that's an FBI informant. But he might be a terrorist. And this is how they're trying to spin their way out of this one. Now they're saying he's a double agent. And yes, he was working for the government trying to pretend to be a terrorist and running around with a towel he stole from Motel 6 or something on his head and everything like this and saying, I'm a terrorist. And other terrorists say, well, yeah, he was pretending to be a terrorist, but he's really working with the real terrorists. They're very sneaky, these Muslim terrorists. Can I say bastard on the radio? Yes, I think I can. I can get away with that. So here's the deal. They're trying as hard as they can to scare you all back into obedience, back into servitude. It's all they got left. They're not giving you anything. I mean, they're taking all your money away from you, and they're sending back dead kids. Such a deal. And they can't handle the economy. They can't fix that. They're knuckling under once again to Israel. And the American people are fed up with it. And the Rasmussen poll confirms what I have been seeing in the email and the phone calls to the show. Two-thirds of Americans are angry with the federal government. One-third, more than one-third, almost 40%, are counting themselves very angry. Now, we're basically at the situation just prior to the American Revolution. The American Revolution was fought with only one-third popular support of the American colonials. So if I'm going to say popular support is counted as those who are very angry with the present government, then we're there. We are there with the same demographic breakdown that led to the American Revolution. And for the same reason, the enforcing of a reserve banking system on us all that was never intended originally. I've told you all the story about Ben Franklin and saying, we don't have poverty, there's enough money to keep everybody busy. And then King George III says, you've got to adopt the Bank of England and use their money and use this and use that. 2 years later, the colonies were just steeped in poverty and unemployment and starvation, and that was what fueled the anger against the British government. We kicked the bums out. Absolutely deserved to be ejected, and we kicked them out. So there we are. Now, getting back here to the economy real quick. Into this segment here. Boy, how time flies when you're having fun. Venture capital funding takes a plunge. So anybody who says that the recession is over and business is starting to crack up again, wrong. The available venture capital to start new businesses and new projects and new entrepreneurial activity is still in major decline. Doesn't matter how much of our tax money we're giving the banks, they're not loaning. We'll be right back.
Cascadia Public Radio.
listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the practice by government to create the enemies that you're supposed to be afraid of, that will drive you crying and weeping and whining and just clinging to the legs of Big Daddy government to save you from the big, bad, old monsters. And in the 1990s, it was those dreaded domestic militias and blah, 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 all of which were being run by FBI informants, I might add. We had back earlier than that the Symbionese Liberation Army, and it turned out their top ringleaders were actually working for the FBI to create this monster domestic terrorist group in order to scare Americans into going along with an agenda of reduced civil liberties and increased police powers and surveillance. It's been an ongoing erosion of the Bill of Rights. And it's always justified by the presence of some big, bad, ugly monster that we're all supposed to be afraid of. Interesting story just came out of Germany. They had this big, big, newsworthy terror arrest back in 2007 in this little town, Medebach-Oberschlatter, about, southwest of Berlin. And the police announced that they'd seized all this explosive and all of this very dangerous terrorist material, and they locked these guys up. Now it's gone to trial, and it's all coming apart. It's all falling apart. These guys they've arrested are just a bunch of dolts who go, we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the entire case and all the newsworthiness was just the German secret police wanting to grab headlines that they were fighting terror. We've seen that here in the United States. They get four bozos get infiltrated by an FBI informant, and the informant brings in a bunch of dynamite and a bunch of stuff and plants it on and says, yes, let's get those godless great Satan, or whatever phrase they use. I don't even know what that stuff is. And then the guys will say, well, okay, sounds good. Boom, they're arrested, instant terrorists, and they get headlines. And then a couple of months later, the courts let them go because it's all entrapment. And it's all a setup. And that's what the government is doing. They're creating these monsters to scare you into going along with what the government wants. And you know something? They've gone to that well a few too many times. We see through it. Now they're doing it all over these latest terror arrests. And the corporate media is not admitting that one of them is actually an FBI informant they bagged. And they're trying to scare you because they understand the American people are angry. We're getting angrier by the time. And treating us like we're idiots isn't going to help. We're going to go to the phones real quick. Kate in Kentucky. Aloha, Kate. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I have kind of a fun idea.
Good.
I spent many years on the New York City subways watching these older women with their Bibles, with a pink, yellow, and green highlighter and the bookmarks going on and on and on. And yes. We keep talking about 1984. And here's a gift that's perfect for any occasion. Take the book 1984, and all these passages that we all know apply to things today.
Mm-hmm.
Take your little pink, yellow, and blue highlighters, highlight those passages, and take a bookmark and put a link to something in each and every one of those pages. Wrap it nicely and do it. Because you know what? I'll bet you nine out of ten of us know a school teacher or someone who knows a school teacher who can still get these things in bulk because they're required reading.
Yes.
They're in paperback. They're inexpensive. You can put them in your pocket or purse. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea. I don't know how required 1984 is. The curriculum has been changing drastically in our school system. I mean, now it's Holocaust training and Recording Industry of America training and global warming training, and now they're going to have an official 9/11 curriculum. So I don't know if 1984, if there's still room for that in there. But I know because of all that we talk about here on the Internet, people go out and they hunt it down and they read it. It's available on your iPhone readers and so forth and so on. And, of course, there's that wonderful movie with John Hurt. That shows a lot of it. And I think people are definitely seeing that analogy there. And again, that issue of Osama bin Goldstein, or Emmanuel Goldstein, as the created villain on which we blame everything. And I mean, again, Hitler did exactly the same tactic. There's always a scapegoat who's the reason why we have to take these terrible emergency measures to increase the government's power and to further oppress our own citizens. And really, it's for your own good, of course, is the excuse that we're getting. But because this is a very, very different world, you know, obviously in this case, it's backfiring. The harder the government is pushing to try and control us, the more and more angry the American people are getting. I frankly, as long as I've been working at this, 16 years, and as much as I have seen the signs around me immediately, directly with my own eyesight, that people are getting angry and fed up, the Rasmussen numbers actually surprised me. I didn't think it was that heavy. That many people were ready to admit they're angry with the federal government, not with the Republicans, not with the Democrats, not with the liberals, not with the target group, not just with Osama, with the government as a whole. 66% of Americans are angry. 36 count themselves as strongly angry. I think we're at a threshold.
I think they're starting to get it, because today I went to this, in front of Humana Healthcare in Louisville, Kentucky, I went to this healthcare protest thingy, and I'm standing there, and of course there were your requisite, this group and that group and the Cuba t-shirts and this, that, and the other, but the MoveOn walked up to me and all this kind of thing, and I said, you're not really understanding this. I said, it's not that. It's that the pitchforks and torches were out way before this. It's just that we all feel like we've got to be Calvin Coolidge buttoned up when there's a Republican in office. Now there's a Democrat in office. We feel like we can speak our mind. And you're not getting this. And they all kind of looked at me, and this woman from Iran was standing next to me, which was very interesting. I'll tell you about that later. I'll send you an email. But the whole thing was very interesting. But nobody was arguing. They got it. They're still trying to play that card. It's like hope springs eternal. That's exactly the way it felt. It's like I'll grasp at any straw. But people are angry.
Oh,
I'm not surprised at that poll.
Well, here's the situation. I think while Bush was in office, people were kind of going along with it, with the idea that the next election we could sort of reverse the trend. And then we had this candidate who spoke well and really did convince the majority of America that he brought change. And we gave him the White House, and we gave the entire Congress to his party, and nothing changed. And I think that was the moment at which Americans realized that we had lost complete control of the government. It didn't matter who we voted into power. The government was going to obey the wishes of those secret masters behind the scenes who got the cash registers. And I think that's why people are angry now, is they realize that simply bouncing back and forth from one party to another, from one ideology to another, isn't going to fix it. That the system as a whole is what's broken. And yes, they're getting angry. At all these town hall meetings, I keep saying to everybody, the fuse is the health care issue and the mismanagement of that. But the powder is decades of being lied into wars, of having our wealth looted from us to give to Wall Street and Israel, and seeing our kids come back in these cheap aluminum boxes with these cheaper flags draped over them. Enough is enough. We're fed up. We're going to take a break here. Thank you very much for the phone call. Kate, please call in again, and I look forward to your email. This is What Really Happened. I'm your host, Mike Rivero, and we will be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. The phone lines are open, 800-259-9231. And I want to talk about an article that came in, and it drew a lot of very negative email. And I kind of want to set the stage where we're ramping up to the G20 happening in Pittsburgh. And already the groups that are organizing for protests are accusing the police of harassment, that the police are trying to convince them, don't bother showing up. Barack Obama actually came out with a statement today saying, well, protest all you want, it's not going to change anything. Well, okay, then it's the, you know, then it's time to go for the pitchforks and torches and tar and feather and rope and, if necessary, the guillotines. Okay, but I think it was a very arrogant and reckless statement for him to make, probably on a par with his comment about how the internet is a threat to democracy. And such ill-considered remarks, I think, are a sign of the growing panic and desperation that is coming out of the White House. But I digress. Getting back to the G20, the protest organizers are saying they're already being harassed. They're already being told, well, you'll be allowed to protest within sight of the venue, meaning probably a hill several miles away. So, you know, hey, if you stand on this rock with the binoculars, you can see the venue kind of a situation. We already know. Free speech zones are being set aside. There is no free speech inside a free speech zone. It's basically they're giving you a closet where you can yell yourself silly. But isn't the purpose of freedom of speech to get your message out to the rest of the country? Isn't the purpose of freedom of speech, protected freedom of speech, to be able to petition the government or in corporations for redress of grievances? If you're being shunted off way off to one side, where the rulers don't have to hear you, that absolutely undermines the whole point of having a First Amendment. The government can say, you can have freedom of speech, just go someplace where we don't have to listen to you. That is absolutely contrary to the spirit of the First Amendment in terms of redressing the evils that led to the American Revolution. And so whether they realize it or not, and I'm beginning to wonder if some of these people in government really are as smart as they like to pretend, or if they just got what they are, where they are, just by willingness to do things that normal, moral people won't do. But they're setting, literally, they're creating the same sort of circumstances that led to the first American Revolution. And so it's hardly surprising that we're seeing these Rasmussen figures of 36% of Americans are very angry with the federal government. So anyway, they're getting ready for Pittsburgh. And by the way, if any of you listening to this show are planning on going to the demonstrations at Pittsburgh, and I don't care what you're protesting for or against or what your agenda is, I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want to share a little word of wisdom with you. Right now, the government is desperate to categorize all protesters as villains and anti-American. We had somebody came out today basically saying that the protesters against the government, well, they're just on the edge of being, you know, like the bombers of the Oklahoma City building. I mean, they're trying to basically, let's see. Ah, yeah, here we are. NBC's David Gregory worries protesters are one step away from Oklahoma City bombing. Obama calls for civil discourse, which is basically political speak for shut the heck up and do as you're told. I mean, if you want civil discourse, you've got to listen to us. And you have to respond to our needs and our concerns. John F. Kennedy said, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. And he is absolutely, tragically correct on that issue. Americans, as of a year ago, as of last November, have had a lesson that working within the system via the elections process doesn't work. They've had a lesson that protesting peacefully doesn't work. We're running out of ways to try and influence the government to stop looting the nation for the benefit of the bankers and get back to taking care of we, the American people. And the reason so many Americans are angry right now is the realization government is looking out for itself and its buddies in the banks. And they don't really give a darn about the rest of us. That's why they're going on about the economy is recovering and everything's great and it's a jobless recovery, but that's okay because, heck, we've got jobs. You go up to any of these bozos in the Federal Reserve and say, what is an acceptable level of unemployment? And they say, well, I guess it all depends on whether you have a job or not. You know, it may be unacceptable to you if you're out of work, but hey, I've got a job, so it's acceptable to me. I'm working. And so are all of my friends, and all of my friends' nieces and nephews. They've all got jobs. So if you're a protester, be on the lookout for infiltrators, informants, agents, provocateurs. Go back and study the history of COINTELPRO during the height of the Vietnam peace movement. The government loves to play dirty. do not ever assume that anybody working for the government follows the same moral ethical code that you yourself have been raised with. From the point of view of the government, raising people to be honest and ethical and moral and truth-telling is simply the chains put on them to keep them subordinate to the leaders who lie, cheat, steal, kill, murder, genocide, smuggle drugs, whatever, to get the money that they're doing. It's not a question of morality, it's a question of power. And by brainwashing the people to always be truthful and honest and so forth, makes them more useful. But it's not meant to be a model for the entire society, as seen from the point of view of the rulers. Personally, I think everybody should be honest and ethical and moral, especially the leadership. And there's where the whole system is kind of breaking down there. So keep an eye out for all of that stuff. Keep an eye out for the infiltrators. Keep an eye out for the troublemakers, because right now the government is looking for any way to make the protesters and anybody unhappy with the government look bad. They're desperate to find some way that they can say, oh, anybody unhappy with the government, well, they're being racist, and their mother dresses them funny, and they smell bad, and you don't want to hang out with these people who don't trust and love the government, because that's not the kind of people that you, loyal Americans, want to hang out with. I mean, it's really getting pathetic out there. Meanwhile, okay, at this point, I'm going to go to the phones. I've got another comment, but I'm going to save it to the last segment of the show today. So we're going to go to the phones. Lauren in Ohio. Aloha, Lauren. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Aloha, Michael. You have this so right. And here's the thing. You just cannot let these people get you into pitchforks and torches. Walking away is the solution. These are not your leaders. If you look at what the Constitution is, it's limitations on the maid and the butler. Do the maid and the butler lead the house, or does the master of the house lead the house? See, it's an artificial, this is what the schools are for, to brainwash your children so they think that they are subordinate to the maid and the butler. Now, whose fault is that? It's our fault, because either we don't know the truth or we don't respect the truth. And so we sit here and we say, they're looting the nation, they're stealing the money. No! You're giving the bully the money because you're too scared not to. Did it ever occur to people to just stop giving them your money? Boycott the government? Don't take government services? Keep your Medicare, keep your Medicaid, keep your Social Security, keep your money that you stole from other people to give to me. Just because you get somebody else to go out there and steal that money doesn't mean it's any less than theft. Thou shalt not steal. It's there for a reason. The other thing is, I'm going to read you from the Constitution. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. They're not supposed to be up there meeting all darn year, talking about, we're going to pass this law, we're going to tell you how to do that. No, you can't use hemp in your country. No, you can't have jobs in your country. No, you can't. This is ridiculous. And to sit here and continue to obey a bunch of corrupt criminals, and I mean, I know that they don't all realize, okay, I was brainwashed, I was a socialist Democrat, I was then a Republican, then
okay,
I was a
Lauren,
libertarian.
Hold that thought. Lauren, hold that thought. The music means we got to take a break here. I want to keep you into the last segment of the show, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. We're talking with Lauren in Ohio. And Lauren, you're absolutely correct. When the United States was first set up, all of the power was in the states, where the state government was reachable by the ordinary people. The federal government was severely limited, no standing army in peacetime. Its role was strictly to unite the country only in time of war. Legislators were like a part-time job, where you had a regular profession you followed, like insurance or silversmithing or publishing or whatever, and once a year you'd get together to say, okay, what are the rules we want to have for the next year? But over time, Washington, D.C. has drawn more and more power to itself. using the Civil War in one case and a couple of well-timed assassinations. And, of course, the biggest villain of all are the central banks. We've had three of them. The first two, the charters were allowed to expire because there was so much damage caused to the country by these central banks that the presidents literally had to say, I've got to shut you down or there's going to be a revolution. Then the third time, they passed it as a as the Federal Reserve Act and made it a law, so there was never any expiration of the charter. That was the biggest mistake, and Woodrow Wilson wrote in his diary that he realized belatedly he had ultimately destroyed the United States of America, because now we've got the Federal Reserve, and they're up there now saying, we're not going to have an audit. We don't care what you guys pass the laws. We're not going to allow an audit. And we're at that point where we, the American people, have run out of options.
We haven't run out of options.
Lauren, let me finish. My turn, and then I'll let you close out the show. We, the American people, have run out of options. I know that most Americans, it's just like it says in the Declaration of Independence, we are disposed to suffer while the evils are sufferable. I think most Americans would love to go on working and paying our bills and paying our taxes if we had the jobs and stuff to deal with it all. But in this case, we have run out of options. We've got, the government is piling more and more debt on our heads with every single bailout and every new war. We don't have the means to pay for it. And even if we were to work and slave our lives away to pay all these bills that the government is creating for us, we're still going to wind up with a government that doesn't trust us, that reads our email, that loots our computers, that's trying to take our guns away, that's watching us through TV cameras from every single street corner. Who needs to work an entire lifetime to have a nation like that to live in? So as a matter of fact, I think probably we're seeing the numbers that we're seeing at the Rasmussen poll. Americans are just realizing, you know, we're out of options. We can't work within the system. It's time to start tarring and feathering the bastards. Lauren, your turn.
No, because, see, when we start tarring and feathering, then they can get that slim majority that says, okay, go ahead and pull out the big guns on him, because I want to, if you don't do what he says, I'm going to die. They're already dumb enough to do that. We don't want to encourage that. The solutions that I have, each one can do on their own. You don't need the group to do the right thing. You just do the right thing. Number one, obey God. He said don't steal, and that means just because you get the government to give you those free services that they stole money from somebody else to provide for you through extortion, you're taking those services, well, you're right there in it. Schools, how do you think they get these people, dumb as a box of rocks, don't have any idea what their Constitution says? I mean, if you
Federal
just look at the Declaration
curriculum.
Of Independence, well, this is my point, though. Just look at the Declaration of Independence and what it was established for. What, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. It's not unalienable, it's unalienable. You can't put a lien against the fruit of a man's labor, because if he doesn't own his labor, there's no such thing as freedom. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. They're not fulfilling the purpose, but the schools
aren't. And
the purpose is.
Go on to that next part of the Declaration.
I'll finish it, but I'm not in agreement with this. That wherever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter, abolish it, and institute a new government. But again,
You left a word out. Lauren, I got to call you on this one.
Okay, wait. Go ahead. Foundations.
Okay, you left out the word or. It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it.
We are trying to
alter the government. We have been trying to alter.
Here's my point, Michael. This is the thing that, and I know you're not a Christian, and you don't have to be. But the thing is, we've got to understand that there are no men that have dominion over other men. So the whole notion of having a government of men, and so if they were giving us all the freebies and all the things that we wanted and we were giving them their money, it's still against what God said to do. He didn't say to live like this, to make a government of men over the other men. That's the whole point. We're wrong-headed in what we're doing.
Now my turn, Lauren, my turn. I'm going to ask for a little bit of silence here because I want to get an idea out here. Okay, first of all, governments are instituted among men. I mean, if you look at the Constitution, we the people, we agreed in this contract with America, that's what the Constitution is, with this contract in America, we agreed to allow a government control over certain portions of our life in order that they would manage the country for the benefit of the whole. Now, government has arrogated additional authority over our lives, I mean, to the point where they're going around saying, we're going to stick a needle in your arm full of swine flu vaccine, whether you want it or not. That, I think, is very much unconstitutional. But the point I was making about the word or, to alter or abolish it, we have been trying to alter the government. We've been trying to petition for redress of grievances. We've been trying to do all the things of working within the system. The government isn't listening to us anymore. That's where the or comes in. I don't like violence. And my opinion is that the first side that starts shooting at each other is going to lose in the court of world opinion, which is why the government wants the protesters to start shooting first. On the other hand, we see the government spending our tax money on pain rays, LRADs, machine guns, and Kevlar for the police. They are arming the police. The government is getting ready to declare war on the American people. It will be a war of conquest. Okay? So the situation here is, if we are pushed to a violent revolution, it's because the government refused to alter itself in response to the will of the people. And that, of course, is the impasse that every government that reaches this situation has in history, where you have the rich and powerful who are locked up in their little secure palaces, and they don't care who has to die in order to preserve their wealth and privilege, versus those of us caught paying for it all in this very fascistic kind of economy that we're living in right now. There is no really such thing as justice. It is simply the force of necessity on each side. And it's reached the point where the American people are, they're feeling their needs are not being met. And we're definitely coming up against this confrontation. Now, as I said before, I don't like violence. I think it's a terrible thing. It's bad for tourism, rough on the landscaping. But I think we're headed in that direction. I don't think there's any way to avoid it, because the people in charge of our government won't back down. They won't give back any of what they've stolen from us. And that really is the impasse. And we're heading toward a confrontation. I wish it could be avoided. At this point, I don't see it. I think confrontation is inevitable. But again, it's important for the other side to be seen to start shooting first. When the government starts inflicting pain rays, little portable torture machines on wheel, that's all these pain rays and LRADs are. It's the modern high-tech version of flogging the slaves back into their slave pits. And when they start actually doing that, it's going to be seen as another Amritsar, which signaled the end of British rule in India, or it's going to be seen as a modern Kent State. The side that starts shooting first is going to be seen as the villain, which is why I know for a fact the government is going to try and create a situation that makes it look like the protesters have gone violent. And that's why earlier in the show I was saying, be very much aware of infiltrators and agents provocateurs. The government is desperate to find anything that makes the protesters look like the bad guys. Think how Gandhi got the British out of India. That's the model you've got to form. You've got to follow. In other, let the government go out and start clubbing and being the brutal dictatorship that we all know it is. We have a saying we have on a coffee cup we sell here at whatreallyhappened.com. It says the fastest way to bring down a dictator is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it. That's where we're at right now. The government has lost control of the minds of the American people. They've lost control of us. 66% of Americans are angry with the federal government. 36% are very angry. We're at a confrontational point here. Every new set of protests, I mean, look how hard they were trying to spin away the protests a week ago. Oh, it was just a few thousand people, and they're all racist, so how could you listen to them? It is almost laughable how pathetic the propaganda has become. They've run out of ideas. Lauren, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over the rest of the show. We're going to let you go here. Thank you very much for the phone call. Call in again, though. Everybody in the chat room was saying, don't hold it in, Lauren. Tell us how you really feel. So they really kind of liked what you were going on about. But, yeah, we're at that point right now, and if you're going to those protests, be very careful, because that smelly kid with the dynamite who wants you to blow up a building, that's the FBI informant. And stay away from them. Don't get suckered in. The other side plays dirty. The other side plays dirty. The other side plays dirty. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Aloha, America.